الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنفذوا جيش أسامة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الأئمة من قريش أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Continuing with our discussion on the life of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, last week we had terminated on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were still busy with the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attending to the various issues that had come up and attending to the final rites of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person comes and calls out for Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, so Umar radiallahu anhu tells him that you are calling me whereas we are busy at this moment. He says there's a very important issue that has come up and I require you, I need to speak to you. Umar radiallahu anhu goes outside, that person tells Umar radiallahu anhu, that sahabi tells Umar radiallahu anhu that the Ansar have gathered in a certain garden. The Ansar have gathered in Saqifa Bani Sa'ida and they are discussing the issue of Khilafah. And it is important for you all to intervene, otherwise perhaps they will appoint someone on their own as the Khalifa. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he tells him, you have to come with me. As they're walking, they walk past Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu holds the hand of Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and now he walks between Umar radiallahu anhu on his right and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu on his left. And they go to this orchard where the Ansar had gathered. One of the seniors and elders of the Ansar, Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, was there. And they were deciding to appoint Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu as the Khalifa. When these three Sahaba enter, obviously very, very high ranking Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as they enter, one of the spokesmen of the Ansar, one of the spokesmen of the Ansar stands up and he addresses them and he says that the Ansar have these virtues, have these accolades. This is how they had supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, motivating the point that the Khalifa must be appointed from the Ansar. So when this happens, Umar radiallahu anhu says, the narration is in Sahih Bukhari, he says that I was already planning, preparing a speech in my mind, that how am I going to address this situation? Obviously it's a very sensitive issue. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has just passed away. It's so fresh. And now this discussion is taking place. It can go in the wrong direction. So he says, I'm preparing a speech in my mind. But he says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells me, ala rislik, O Umar, you wait. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu says, fakarihtu an ughdiba, I didn't want to make Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu upset. Umar radiallahu anhu is also frightened of making him upset. So he says, I allow him to speak. And he says, he gave the most eloquent speech. He gave an absolutely eloquent and completely composed speech. In that sensitive moment, again not losing his composure, as we have explained so many times before. He never lost his composure. And what does he say? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu firstly highlights all the virtues of the Ansar. Definitely we agree. Who, in fact, he says, who can deny the virtues of the Ansar? You have this virtue, and you have this virtue, and you have this virtue. You assist the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc. He enumerates the various virtues of the Ansar. Umar radiallahu anhu says, impromptu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave a better speech than the speech I had planned in my mind. And then he goes on to say that we have an issue. And the issue is that the rest of the Arabs will not accept a leader unless he comes from the Quraysh. The rest of the Arabs will not agree on any other leader unless he comes from the Quraysh, because the Quraysh held that high position among them. So if the leader is appointed from among the Ansar, they will not accept that leader. And then he goes on to explain that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has mentioned al-a'immatu min Quraysh, that the leaders will be from the Quraysh. He addresses Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. The narration occurs in Musnad Ahmad. He says to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, don't you remember you were sitting right by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned Quraishun wulatu hadhal amr, that the Quraysh will be in charge, they will be the leaders, they will be the leaders of the ummah. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu agrees, and he says, yes, definitely, I have heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes on, he does not demotivate the Ansar, he doesn't break their morale. He says, نَحْنُ الْأُمَرَى وَأَنْتُمُ الْهُزَرَى. It doesn't mean if the leader will come from Quraysh, you will play no role. You will play a very important role. The leader will be from the Quraysh, but you will be the advisors. You will be those people with whom mashura will be made. He will consult with you, and he will not take a unilateral decision without consulting with the Ansar. And then he goes on. Look at the humility of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There were various signs, as we explained last week, that he was definitely the Khalifa and no one else could become the Khalifa. Despite all of this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, رَضِيتُ لَكُمْ أَحَدَ هَذَيْهِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. Here are two candidates before me, next to me. Here are two suitable people for Khilafa. Here is Umar radiallahu anhu on one side and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu on one side. Whichever one you pledge allegiance to, he is suitable for Khilafat. He never put himself forward. The whole concern was the concern of deen. He got involved, he spoke because this was a deeni need, but not to promote himself. He says, you can take bay'ah, you can pledge allegiance to any of the two, they will definitely give you the right direction. However, one Ansari sahabi, Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu anhu, he says, alright, let's come to a compromise. Let's come to a compromise. Minna amir wa minkum amir. Appoint one amir, one leader from the Ansar, and one leader from the Quraysh, one leader from the Muhajireen. So both will be happy. Now, the important point to understand, in many issues, we can compromise. We can meet halfway. If we have a business problem with our partner, we can come to some compromise. All right, give and take, so much we'll agree on this figure. There we can compromise. But on the essentials of deen, there's no compromise. Sometimes it happens, we feel we must compromise everywhere. This compromise applies in many places, but we can't compromise on many issues. So here this Ansari says, let's come to a compromise. It makes perfect sense that we have two amirs, one from the Ansar, one from the Muhajirin, both will be happy. On this occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu speaks, and he says, La yasluhu sayfani fi ghimdin wahid. Can you take two swords and place them in the same sheath? Two swords can't fit in the same sheath. In some narrations he says that one woman can't have two husbands. So like how you can't place two swords in the same sheath, a one woman cannot have two husbands, they can't be two amirs. We can't have two leaders. Obviously the administration will go upside down. The administration won't move smoothly when you have two leaders. And then he goes on, he holds the hand of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he explains three virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We have explained these virtues in the second week regarding the hijrah from the ayat of Quran. He says, this person, Allah says regarding him, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, that he was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the cave during hijrah. Man huma? Who else was there besides Rasulullah and Abu Bakr radiallahu an? Then Allah says in the same ayat, li sahibihi, his companion, man sahibuhu, who was that companion on that occasion? And then Allah says, inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. Who was that us? It was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says, man lahu hadi thalatha, who can compete with this man in these three privileges? So who can claim to be who can claim to be the Khalifa when this man has these privileges and these accolades? And then he goes on and he says that this is the same person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed as Imam in Salah. This is that same Imam that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed. فَأَيُّكُمْ تَطِيبُ نَفْسُهُ أَيَّتَقَدَّمَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ, who has the heart to go in front of that person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed in the front. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him in the front. Now who has the heart to go in front of him and to advance in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu an? The Ansar all say, definitely, we cannot do this. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن نَتَقَدَّمَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. We seek Allah's protection that we go in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. So this was how Umar radiallahu an explained to the Ansar. And then he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, that you are saying people must take bay'ah, must pledge allegiance on my hand. أَنْتَ سَيِّدُنَا وَخَيْرُنَا وَأَحَبُّنَا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The narration appears in Sahih Bukhari. He says, you are the best from among us. Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, you are the best. You are our leader. You were the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes his hand to pledge allegiance at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Another Ansari Sahabi, Bashir bin Sa'd radiallahu anhu, capitalizing on this moment, he rushes forward. And before Umar radiallahu anhu could pledge allegiance, he was the first one to pledge allegiance at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu placed his hands, and then the Ansar that were gathered there all had pledged allegiance at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now this was a small meeting that was taking place. So whoever was there had pledged allegiance. But then thereafter, there was a general bay'ah and pledge of allegiance at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the masjid. Maulanidis Khandalwi rahmatullahi alayhi says it was the next day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi passed away on Monday. This entire meeting took place that evening. Maulanidis rahmatullahi alayhi says the next morning or the next day, the general pledge of allegiance had taken place, although Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimullah says it happened on the same day. So nevertheless, either that same day or the next day, now they go into the masjid. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sitting, Umar radiallahu anhu stands up, and then he goes on explaining the various virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He explains what had happened in that orchard, in the garden, and the pledge of allegiance that the Ansar had taken. And then he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to ascend the minbar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu initially declined. Upon the insistence of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he ascends the minbar. And he ascends the minbar but does not sit on the same step that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on. He sat one step lower out of respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can I sit in the same place that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat? And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in general now pledge allegiance at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave his first khutbah, the first speech. We hear of inaugural speeches of presidents. Many a times, or most of the times, those speeches are full of pride, full of claims, of things that never happened thereafter. That was the first time and the last time it was spoken about, and nothing thereafter. Empty promises. Listen to this inaugural speech of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What a sensitive moment. He is the first person to be appointed after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With such humility, every word dripping with humility, and explaining to us that this man was not desirous of the position. He says, O people, I have been appointed over you. وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. I'm not the best. I have been appointed, but I'm not the best. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. He says that if I do things right, then assist me. If everything is going well, if I'm doing the right things, making the right decisions, then I require your assistance. But if I have to go off the path, if I have to do anything that's wrong, then you must put me back onto line. You must make me straight. Put me onto line. Which leader can say this? That as long as I am online, you must assist me. If I go offline, then you must put me back onto line. This is only that person whose concern is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who is not power hungry, that person who has the highest level of humility can speak in this manner. And then he goes on to say, there were many advices that he had given, but one important aspect, which is very, very relevant, and this is so important, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh mentioned it in his first speech. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh says, لا تشيع الفاحشة في قوم قط إلا عمهم الله بالبلاء. That whenever immodesty becomes prevalent in any people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends general punishment upon those people. A very, very important aspect. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, among all the things, in his inaugural speech, he mentions this, that when people get involved in immodesty, and we don't need to further elaborate on the immodesty that's prevalent, especially during these seasons. So he says that when immodesty becomes prevalent, أَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْبَلَىٰ, then Allah sends general punishment on that nation. And then he says, أَطِيعُونِي مَا أَطَعْتُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. Again, obey me as long as I obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obedience is only obedience to a senior, obedience to the father, obedience to the husband is only when that person is obeying, when that senior is obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes it happens, the husband is making impermissible demands on his wife, and he says that you have to obey me. It is the law of Allah that you must obey me. Obedience is only in permissible things. Obedience is only when the husband is within the framework of Shariat. When he is breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes incumbent on the wife to break his commands. She has to disobey him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, if I disobey Allah, فَلَا طَاعَةَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ, then you do not have to obey me. This was the gist of his speech. And then he also explains a very important point. He says that I never desired position. Not only I never desired position, he said I never even make dua to Allah to give me this position. Sometimes we may not express it, but it's within the heart. He says, I don't even have it in my heart. I didn't have that desire. I didn't make dua to Allah. In fact, he says, I feared this position. And the only reason why I accepted it, أَشْفَقْتُ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ, I felt that in that orchard of the Banu Sa'idah, in that garden of Banu Sa'idah, if I did not accept the position, then there would have been problems in this ummah, there would have been fitna in this ummah, therefore I was forced to accept that position. And then he goes on, thereafter, one narration mentions, for 3 days, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu announced to the people that please take back your pledge of allegiance, find another suitable person and pledge allegiance to him. This was that humility. And that was, and this explains to us how he never desired that position. But Ali radiallahu anhu told him that we will never accept you stepping down from this position. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُؤَخِّرُكَ وَقَدْ قَدَّمَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدْ قَدَّمَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who can move you back when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has placed you in front? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made you our imam. So this was the appointment of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as Khalifa. Obviously, we had summarized the entire issue, the entire incident. There was much more that can be explained. But the important point again is that despite Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam making so many indications that he is going to be the Khalifa, Sahaba knew that he was going to be the Khalifa. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not rush for Khilafat. He was forced to accept that Khilafat, and only on that occasion when he was forced and he realized that if I don't accept, there will be bigger problems in the Ummah, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted the Khilafa. There were certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were not aware of the meeting that had taken place in Saqifah Bani Sa'idah. And because of that, they felt later on that because of our position, we should have been consulted. They were not there in the meeting, and they felt that we should have been consulted. Obviously, they didn't claim to be Khalifa. They knew Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the rightful Khalifa. But they felt that they should have been consulted because of their position. And because of that, they had some slight reservation. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu explained to them the sequence of events and what had transpired, why he was forced to accept the position as Khalifa and why he could not consult with them, they also happily agreed. And they say to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this was the only reason for our slight hesitation. However, we know that you are definitely the true Khalifa. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is appointed as Khalifa, there were very, very trying times that had come on the ummah. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, Wallahi laqad nazala bi abi ma law nazala bil jibali rasiyati lahadaha. She says that such conditions and such challenges had come upon my father, that if those challenges had to be placed on firm and strong mountains, those mountains would have been crushed. Those mountains would have not managed the weight of those challenges that my father had to put up to on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great detail again, but just to summarize it, on one hand, there was that army of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prepared. The army had left Medina Munawwara, but because of the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the army came back to Medina Munawwara. Now there was that army that needed to be sent out, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he made a bequest that sent out and dispatched the army of Usama radiallahu anhu. So there was this army that needed to be dispatched, and in this army there was senior sahaba. Senior sahaba radiallahu anhu were in this army. Even Umar radiallahu anhu was in this army. Now imagine if this army goes out in this time, definitely there will be a void. Definitely there will be problems. So that was one army that needed to be dispatched. And that was one decision that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to make. Then there were those that began to claim Nubuwa. Musaylama, Kazab, Aswad, Anasi, etc. Those that began to claim to be prophets, imposters, claiming to be prophets. So there was that fitna. And there were people that were accepting them and believing in them. Then there were those weak Muslims who had newly accepted Islam, living in the outskirts, in the villages, etc., far away from Medina Munawwara. And they turned away from Islam. They reneged. They turned away from Islam. So that also needed to be sorted out and taken care of. Then there was external pressure. There were threats coming from the non-Arabs, from the Persians, etc. There were threats coming from them that now we're going to attack Medina Munawwara, because the person, the personality because of whom they were assisted is no more there. We can now invade Medina Munawwara. So there was the threats of invasion from the enemy. And then there were those that said, we will perform salah, but we will not discharge our zakat. There's great academic details regarding this. We're just summarizing it. They say that we will perform our salah, but we will not discharge zakat. Now, five challenges that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to face at that time. It's so fresh. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just passes away. He was so close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must have been emotional as well. But now he has to face up with these five challenges. What does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu do? He makes mashura with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He consults with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and many other Sahaba. They give Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the suggestion. They suggest to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that we feel you should hold back the army of Usama radiallahu anhu. Don't dispatch this army. This army was going to fight the Romans. They say that the Romans are far away. They are not a threat for us at the moment. We can keep this army back in Medina Munawwara and we can use this army. We have more urgent issues to take care of. There are more urgent things here. There's a fear of invasion. There are people who are turning away from Islam. If we are going to send this army out that has our prime, the great, great Sahaba are there. If this army goes out, what's going to happen to Medina Munawwara in the event of an invasion? If the enemies have to invade Medina, who's there to protect Medina Munawwara? Now look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He listens to these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They say, we keep back the army. Half the army we send to fight those that have turned away from Islam, those that have believed in these imposters. We will send half the army there, and half the army will guard Medina Munawwara. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu alone, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu on the other side, he becomes extremely firm, and he says that, لَوِ اخْتَطَفَتْنِي الْكِلَابُ وَالذِّئَابُ لَمْ أَرُدَّ قَضَاءً قَضَاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Even if Medina Munawwara has to be emptied, there's no one in Medina Munawwara, and the enemies have to come and invade Medina Munawwara, and they have to slay me, and there is no one to bury Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the animals will come, and the lions and the wolves will come and tear the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I am prepared to do that. In one narration he says, if these animals have to come and drag the bodies of the Azwaj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am even prepared for that. But I can never ever not fulfill one command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This one command, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this army must be dispatched. How can I keep back this army? Look at this. One command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant so much for him. Just one command. Other great Sahaba felt that we will definitely fulfill this command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the time is not right. We need some time to take care of everything else, to sort out our more urgent issues, and thereafter we will dispatch this army. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, no compromise whatsoever. I am not prepared to hold back this army of Usama radiallahu anhu even for a short while. He says, only one request I will make. Only one request. Not an instruction, a request. I will request Usama radiallahu anh if he can allow Umar radiallahu anh to remain behind. Although Umar radiallahu anh is part of his army, if he can allow him to remain behind, because I need Umar radiallahu anh, I need his assistance in running the affairs of the Muslims. And obviously Usama radiallahu anh very happily accepted. So this was the army of Usama radiallahu anh. And in this way, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh showed his firmness, and he's dispatched that army of Usama radiallahu anh. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh used to say that, wallah, لو أن أبا بكر مستخلف لما عبد الله في الأرض. A very, very big statement, a very big claim Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh is making. He says, if Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was not appointed as Khalifa, deen would have not continued, and Allah would have not been worshipped in the world. And then he goes on to explain. He says, it was the firmness that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh had shown on this occasion in dispatching the army of Usama radiallahu anh, fulfilling this command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the army went out, the barakah and the blessings of fulfilling the commands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the army left and they began to pass the different Arab tribes that had turned away from Islam, that was not their objective. They were not going to fight them, they were going to fight the Romans. But when these Arab tribes see this army, they say, these people are so strong that they still can dispatch an army to fight the Romans. We can't turn against these people. And many of them came back into Islam just because of that. But what was it? There was no fighting happening. It was the barakah and the blessings of fulfilling the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what happens, the deen of Allah comes first. No matter what happens, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam come first. And in fulfilling it, respected elders and friends, we will never ever suffer a loss. Whether it be in our business, if I'm going to come out of interest, what's going to happen to my business? That business will double, it will treble. Definitely we will see that barakat. When we are at war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we seeing things outwardly working out for us. When we make peace with Allah, won't Allah allow us to prosper? Look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. Any person who uses his mind will say Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was making the wrong decision. Other great Sahaba felt the same. But when Abu Bakr radiallahu anh fulfilled that one command of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave barakat in that. And the barakat was that a second challenge also was taken care of. Then it was the challenge of those people that began to claim prophethood. And there were other murtadeen as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh again became very, very firm. In fact, in one of the first expeditions, he himself went out, he led the army, and he quelled a certain uprising. And then he comes back to Medina Munawwara. In the meanwhile, the army of Usama radiallahu anh also came. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh still wants to go out. He still wants to go out. As he's leaving, Ali radiallahu anh holds the reins of his conveyance and he says, Ila ayn ya khalifat Rasulillah, O Khalifa of Rasulullah, where are you going? You can't go out and fight. You can't go out and fight. He says, Shim sayfak, wala tafja'na binafsik. Take your sword and place it once again in the sheath. You have unsheathed your sword. Place it back in the sheath. And please do not grieve us with your separation. If you're going to go, Ali radiallahu anhu is saying, if you're going to go, there will be no one to take care of the administration of the ummah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became firm on that side. He dispatched 11 armies. 11 armies he dispatched against these imposters and against these murtaddeen, those that had turned away from Islam. Now there was still one more. Those people who said, we will perform salah but we won't pay our zakat. Now, compared to the others, this was something small. In our terms, it's a small thing. No problem. But at least they're reading this salah. So, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu again consults with Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He consults with the senior Sahaba and he says, what should be done? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even Umar radiallahu anhu, say to him, they suggest to him, O Abu Bakr, temporarily, not forever, not permanently, temporarily, because of the situation again, let us just accept the salah and don't worry about the zakat at this moment, we will sort it out later. When we take care of everything else, this is a smaller challenge, a smaller fitna compared to everything else. We will take care of that later on. Again, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu shows his firmness. And he becomes extremely, extremely firm. And he says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he gives a lengthy khutbah. Time is run out, we don't have the time to give the khutbah. Where he says, you were so weak before Islam. And Allah gave you that strength. And then he says, that apart from the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is no more among y'all, you are the strongest now. Compared to ever before. You were never so strong like today. Obviously, we have a great, great void. And that is the void of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in terms of strength, we are the strongest at this moment. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells him. And he goes on to say that I will never tolerate a person holding back his zakat. Forget a person holding back his zakat. Lo mana'uni iqalan kanu yuaddunaha ila Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they have to withhold one string that is tied to the animal, when the animal is given in zakat, there's other explanations as well. One simple explanation, that string that's tied to the animal, and the animal is led to give that zakat, to discharge that zakat, if they withhold that string as well, and he says, the narration appears in Hayatul Sahaba, he says, and they have to come to me with all humanity and all the jinnat, they have to bring the trees and the stones to come and fight me. I, Abu Bakr, single-handedly will fight them. مَسْتَمْسَكَ السَّيْفُ فِي يَدِي As long as I can hold a sword in my hand. Such firmness on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single command of Allah can be broken. A man like Umar radiallahu anhu says, O Abu Bakr, تَعَلَّفْ بِالنَّاسِ وَارْفُقْ بِهِمْ Take it easy. Take it easy with the people. Don't be so hard. Sometimes it happens when we are practicing deen, then it is misconstrued that we are being hard. Being firm is something else and being hard is something else. We don't be hard, but we have to be firm on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not hard, he was firm. He says to Umar radiallahu anhu, Jabbarun fil jahiliyyah wa khawwarun fil Islam. In jahiliyyah you were so brave against Islam and now you have become a coward. You have become a coward now. And then he says the same statement, that one string also I will not tolerate if they withhold. At that time, Umar radiallahu anhu says, further Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu explains, قَدْ انْقَطَعَ الْوَحْيُ وَتَمَّ الدِّينِ Wahi has terminated. Deen is complete. There's no more changes in deen. There's no more additions or subtractions. No innovations, no compromise in deen whatsoever. Deen is over. قَدْ انْقَطَعَ الْوَحْيُ وَتَمَّ الدِّينِ And he says that statement, which can be written with gold, أَيُنْقَصُ الدِّينُ وَنَحَيْ Can some nuqsan and some type of weakness come into deen when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is alive? When Abu Hassan al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi has gone in length, explaining this one statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says the entire deen, the entire structure of deen that we see is all based on this one statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to compromise at that time and say, never mind, we won't worry about zakat at this time, then this will set the standard for the ummah right till qiyamah, that compromises can be made. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, in essentials of deen, in fundamentals of deen, we're not going to accept any compromise, no matter what the situation will be. We will be be firm on the laws of deen. Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that my entire life's actions can't match this one day of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where he showed this firmness and he gave the ummah that lead. And alhamdulillah, through fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and holding firm to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had taken control of the situation, and thereafter Islam had spread far and wide. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for this. The best of reward, the lesson that we take is that in our families, in our communities, we have that fervor for deen. Whatever weakness we can see in deen, then we try, obviously with hikmah, with wisdom. We don't cause fights, we don't cause problems. But we try and make those changes. If every one of us has this kind of mindset of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that can some weakness come in deen in my family when I'm alive? After my death maybe, but when I am alive, then my family will be on deen. Inshallah, we will find a revolution taking place in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.